Hello and welcome to the Dadcast. My name is Matt.
My name's Paul.
And we are both dads, gamers, and tech lovers.
And content creators.
And don't forget content creators. This is our podcast and we hope you enjoy it. Stay tuned, tune into future episodes, and we hope that you enjoy the chill out with us. And of course, we like to enjoy
a good old fashioned drinky poo.
A good old fashioned drinky poo. So we will always introduce a new drink each week or each episode. So stay tuned, tune in, have fun, chill out, and de-stress as a parent, a dad, a gamer, and a tech lover.
Enjoy it.
Peace.
Love you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back.
Ni hao.
Welcome, Paul.
Hello.
Good to see you as always. It feels like we have not really spoken a lot since the last podcast.
No. I saw you 2 weeks ago. That's enough, Matt, for me, and I'm off.
To be fair, that probably works quite well for this show.
It does.
Because it gives us something to speak about. But life, funnily enough, how close we are to each other, life does get really busy.
I think we speak every day in like various group chats, but never
direct
to each other. They're just always in a conversation somewhere.
Yeah, it's a bit odd. So we're in episode 14.
Episode 14.
We are back with a mystery drink.
My turn this week.
We've got a few good topics. It's Paul's turn with the drink, and hopefully he's on form as always. After a very unusual drink last week, the last podcast.
And I'll tell you what, this week's drink is not a strong one.
It's not?
No.
Well, that makes a change.
It does make a change. And I've only just actually realised how weak it is, and I'm a little bit disappointed.
Well, we're not going to be drunk. There's going to be no slurring of words come 40 minutes in.
I can drive home safe.
Yeah. Fair enough. So, yeah, we'll do that in a second. We normally do what we call a bit of housekeeping.
A bit of housekeeping, yeah.
So, what we've been up to?
Just work. Work. I feel like something happened last weekend, but I don't remember.
Yeah, that's the joys of getting old.
Yeah.
Your recall is not very good.
No.
I can't remember what we did last weekend.
We went to Legoland last week.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Quite a big thing then.
Yeah, just casual.
Casually went up to Legoland.
Yeah, went to Legoland. It was nice. We thought it was going to rain, so I took an umbrella and I carried an umbrella all day and it didn't rain.
Well, there you go. There's a secret, people. I didn't have an umbrella and it did rain when I went there, so I think we've unlocked the key to Legoland.
My mum turned around at one point and she went, I'm surprised you're still carrying that. She goes, it's unlike you. You'd dump that by now. I was like, I know. But
to be fair, the real reason is to bat the kids out of the queues.
Yeah.
Was it busy up there?
It was fairly busy.
Because it was half term, wasn't it?
Yeah. Half hour, 40-minute wait, usual, standard.
Yeah, no fun.
No,
it's not really fun. What were the kids like on the rides?
They're fine. Yeah, they love them. Got everything nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not much they won't go on.
Yeah. See, Daisy's a bit like that, but Poppy, not so much. She's a bit like Daddy.
Yeah.
A bit of a scaredy cat.
Emily's fearless, as you know. Emily will just do whatever she wants. Layla doesn't like... I'm trying to think where else has got one. It's quite dark. It's almost like a laser tag sort of situation. You know, a little carriage, you get a little gun...
Ninjago.
Yeah, you've got the Ninjago one. They also have the Pharaoh's Tomb one.
Okay, I don't know if we did that one.
It's weird. It goes from like Lego Friends, Friendship City to the Pharaoh's Tomb.
Yeah. You will die and be cursed.
Yeah. And so in there it's very dark, it's all like creaking floorboards, things like that. And you go around, there's like little scarabs and you have to like shoot them with your laser gun.
But, sounds fun. Why had I not?
I love it.
When
but
I was
anything
there?
Like that, Lily just freaks out. I'm like, you're 11 years old, just grow a backbone.
Yeah, man up.
Yeah, but she literally just freaks out. She doesn't like the dark, creepy vibes.
I get that. You know, I think because she's the oldest one, we give her, you know, probably a little bit more kind of old girl credit. We give her a little bit more old girl credit than you know, realizing she's still young.
Yeah, she's still young.
Because we've obviously got younger ones.
Yeah.
So you always expect maybe the oldest
one. And when they're like, let's go, you're like, why are you scared? You're the big one.
Yeah.
But it's fine. How about yourself? What have you been up to?
A bit of everything, really. It's like, it's hard to give you anything that's exciting, but it doesn't feel like I've had any time. So work's been a mixture of, weird mixture of not busy, but busy. Like, admin-y busy, but not sales busy.
Yeah.
We're doing the rebrand still, and I'm trying to pull that together. And this week I'm arranging plasterers, sign repairers, decorators, plumbers to remove radiators so we can plaster. Just trying to pull people together has been annoying.
Yeah.
Then we've had last minute changes to brand colours, which throws out the colour of the shop, which ties back in with the decorator. So
that's a big change. It's a subtle change as it is. In the grand scheme of things, it's a big change.
Well, this is the frustration, right? I think sometimes, because my business partners aren't creative, they're more kind of more business focused and stuff. They maybe don't put enough importance on getting the rebrand right. And I really want to get it done well, and I want to get it all done in synchronicity. So shop, merch, you know, all the websites.
Yeah, it's like you pull everybody together, then you just want to flick the domino and watch them all fall down.
Basically,
yeah.
And go for it. And the thing is, you can't really stop start on these things because I've already got the ball in motion on a new website. So that's, and because I've provided all of the content for the website really quickly, they've just got to put it all together. So in 2 weeks, we should have pretty much an 80% completed website.
Oh, wow.
Because it's a template.
Yeah.
It's an, you know, estate agent company that makes websites. And they built our current site. I've just built another site with them for another brand. So they know how it work. I know how they work. Get them the content. Tell them what I want. They send me over a brief proposal. I say yes. They go for it. 2 weeks, I got a beta. So it's like that started on Monday. So that is very much in motion.
Yeah.
We've already ripped down the old sign on the shop.
That's not a ball rolling. That's snowballing. That's
snowballing,
there,
yeah. So the sign is down on the shop. The shop floor is like empty, ready to be stripped and plastered. You know, the logos are, brand guidelines are all done.
Is that just the upstairs that's being done?
Just the upstairs, yeah.
Downstairs is new.
Downstairs is new and it looks nice, but it now needs, it's been kept deliberately neutral and very white because we had an inkling that we would be rebranding down the line. So we didn't want to colour it with our current brand and then have to change it all. So it's very white. But once we do this, we can start bringing a bit more life downstairs. And adding a splash of colour and a bit of style. So it's been all of that going on. And then I've obviously, you know, we obviously had the passing of Jay and took a bit of a break from content. Not a long break, but just, I think, leading up to it and then immediately after. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a period of like 2 to 3 weeks.
Like, it hit everybody in like a different way.
Yeah.
And like in quite a hard way. As much as everybody like, we all knew the inevitable was happening, it was a gutting thing that happened. And we, you know.
Well, you know, without going too far into it, I had a call with John, who is one of Jay's closest and oldest friends, on Wednesday night. And yeah, it very much is that vibe of like, whether you knew him for 20 years or 1 year or 6 months, a lot of people got a lot from him, you know?
Yeah.
And like you say, I think we knew it was kind of a difficult battle, but I think because Jay hadn't given up.
No, not he was there
right until the
end.
That you always kind of like had this in the back of your mind, it'll be okay. It'll be okay.
And because we all know he'd gone to remission once and he'd fought it, and he was so positive, and he was like, I've got this, I'm gonna smash it. And we were like, you've 100% got this, mate. Like, we all were rooting for him,
yeah. And I think the whole, you know, year left, I disagree, and all that sort of stuff, you kind of always thought that there's always a miracle around the corner. So, you know, and I think it was John who said, you know, finally, with maybe the final 2 weeks, he came to him and said, you know, mate, I'm dying. And that you would never have heard that from Jay.
No, that's...
So for him to say that, it was like he'd kind of covered all the angles he could and fought all the battles he could and just ran out of options.
Yeah.
And that's hard, you know. And you know, I think I've done a lot of soul search in the last couple of weeks and really kind of has hit home of like, treat people well,
yeah,
you know, and you know, don't sweat the pressure of content creating, because ultimately it doesn't really matter. It's not our job.
No,
you know, and spend time with your kids and enjoy, you know, home life. And
it's a touch grass notion, isn't it?
It's a very much touch grass moment. And yeah, so the kind of last couple of weeks have been a bit, it's felt very odd, because leading up to it, it's obviously sad. Immediately after is very sad. When you start to get 2-3 weeks, you get in this weird place where you feel guilty for kind of feeling like you're happy again. And it's a really weird feeling. And I know Jay wouldn't want you to be moping forever, but you know, you allow yourself to laugh at work. You allow yourself to have a nice evening watching a film or whatever. And you kind of then check yourself to go, oh, I don't really feel like I've forgotten about him.
No, we will never ever forget about it.
No, but it's that, I'm in that weird space right now where you feel, I've kind of, although we've got the funeral next Wednesday, I kind of have, we've got that, almost that sense of closure. And now you just got to remember him in a good place. but you can't be sad forever, and he wouldn't want you to be.
No.
So yeah, it's just a bit weird. Emotionally, I feel a bit weird. Like I feel a bit somber and a bit quiet and a bit flat, but I'm okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So the last couple of nights I got back into content and try to smash out a few bits. Got a few exciting bits coming up. So I think it's now.
I've seen one of those exciting bits.
Yeah, very exciting. It has to be full steam ahead now because the world doesn't stop.
No.
The world doesn't stop.
It is a harsh reality of it.
The harsh reality is the world doesn't stop. No. And if we allow it to stop, then obviously it can come unstuck quite quickly, and you can very much become unstuck yourself and put yourself in a position. And again, I always say to myself, well, Jay wouldn't want that. So, chin up, crack on. And
positive vibes,
and
all
positive
the way.
Vibes, and look yeah, after, 100%. And look after people. I've definitely made a much more conscious effort to just try and make sure people are okay.
Yeah,
whether it's on Instagram or at work or whatever. Because
the Discord now in the Royalty, I've seen we've got the new just talk out. If you've
talk
got
it
issue.
Out.
Yeah, just come talk.
Talk it out. So
talking's good. If you've got problems, communication is key. It's always good to get your problems off your chest.
Well, exactly. And you might not always have the answers. The thing is, that channel isn't designed that you can come in there and get a professional psychology session because we're just normal
sometimes
people.
Sometimes you don't need the answer. It just helps just to
say it.
Get it off.
And know that other people kind of understand you.
Yeah, yeah.
So there we go. So very heavy start to the podcast. But, I think it's still right to kind of touch these things.
Coming off the bonus episode, which is brilliant.
Yeah. It was a nice listen. I've probably listened to that about six times now.
Yeah.
It's just quite comforting in a way.
Yeah.
Because most of that episode is not talking about cancer.
No, it's just Jay.
It's just talking about, life photography, funny anecdotes, what he's done in his life and stuff. So actually it's a very calm.
And for somebody who was so quiet and humble.
Yeah.
When you realise the things that he did in his life.
Oh, yeah.
You think, how are you so he was just so humble about everything.
Most people probably still didn't know.
No.
I mean, I knew, but I didn't know to the extent.
Yeah.
I didn't know, Jay was sent to the Galapagos Islands to photograph animals and went into the sky cloud and had a coffee in the coffee garden or whatever.
And you've got David Hasselhoff, you've got the matey from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Loads of all these other celebrities he's done full photo shoots for.
Yeah.
They were all commenting on his posts and sending off their their best wishes, I guess, their condolences.
Yeah, it was surreal, being in the Daily Mail and stuff. But RJ was just,
he was just RJ.
Happy gamer Jay, who just liked to be involved in conversation and never put his foot down as the authority on anything, even when he could have.
Mm.
Photography, when we talk about photography, he would put his little bits of advice in, but it would never come from a place of, I know best because I've done this.
Yeah.
You would just never have known. Really kind of some nice things come out, and then obviously you check yourself and you get a lump in your throat and you move on and stuff. So it's been like that for the last couple of weeks, but I cannot grumble.
No.
I cannot grumble, and I try not to.
So, some holidays, how are we doing?
Not too bad, actually.
Do we need to do a beer before we hit?
I think we need beer before that. So traditionally we always get straight into the drink. Yeah. It is your week. Now, you've already kind of preempted the fact this could be weak, and I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
Because I said to my friend in Razor that I just got off the phone with, and he's probably listening to this. So, Ryan, if you're listening to this, I've cursed this episode, but I said you normally bring the strong stuff.
Yeah. Well, I probably would have if I'd have bought the beer.
Right.
So there's a bit of a cheat there. So
is this another listener?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, this is just my housemate, Jess.
Gotcha.
Jess,
if you're listening, that was a joke.
She never listens to this. she bought one. She did food shopping the other day.
Yep.
I come home from work. She said, I bought a beer in the fridge for you that I found on the shelf. Saw it and I was like, I said, I can't drink that. I said, I need to buy another one. I said, because that has to be, it's my week. This has
That's
to come.
That's the podcast beer.
So, it's an Aldi beer.
Yep.
We know
we like Aldi beers.
We love
nothing
Aldi beers.
Nothing wrong with an Aldi beer.
So, just to give it a bit of a hype up, winner of Aldi's The Next Big Thing.
Wow, that's an accolade.
Hype. So it's, I've got to try and be careful here. Because
the name's in there.
The name just ruins it. So it is a 3.6%.
Okay, so not as weak as I was thinking. I thought it was going to be a 2 point something.
No, it's 3.6. So it's okay, okay.
Summer beer then. It's a summer beer.
Contains skimmed milk.
What?
Egg.
What?
Rapeseed oil. Flour.
Is this an all-day breakfast?
Do you know what? It could be served on a Sunday. So, the first and original Yorkshire pudding beer.
What?
Made in the foothills of the North Yorkshire Moors. We get our Yorkshire puddings from our friends at the Real Yorkshire Pudding Company in Doncaster. Each 500ml bottle of beer contains approximately half a Yorkshire pudding. The beer is soft and smooth with a hint of creaminess at the back end of the beer.
That is insane.
And this is...
a Yorkshire pudding
beer. The Yorkshire pudding beer.
That is nuts.
No.
To be fair, that's kind of blown my mind, because whenever we do funky beers, they tend to be sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
They're either like a fizzy sweet, or a, you know, like a maple pancake. You know, very rarely are they savoury.
Exactly.
That's a savoury flavour.
It's a savoury beer.
Which, in theory, should work really well, because beer is quite savoury.
Yeah, should work good. But yeah,
it could also appreciate be absolutely horrendous.
I open the fridge, see that, and I'm like, I need another
that
one.
That has to be a podcast beer.
Yeah, so Jess went
have
out.
Have you had one yet?
No.
You haven't? So this is virgin testing.
I saved
testing.
It, and then I was going to go on my way nice. Home from work today. Then Jess texted me, said, I'm going out shopping. Yep. I'll get some milk or whatever. She's like, I'll look for it.
Yep.
She grabbed another one.
Amazing.
So
you got one for later as well.
One's been in the fridge all week, one's been in the fridge all day, and they've just been in your freezer. So
I'm excited. I'm excited. Like, this is pure gold podcast thing. Thank you very much. That's a nice bottle. So what I thought we'd do, so you know on all of our podcasts, you can have a podcast cover.
Yeah.
You can have a picture. So obviously the last two we did of Jay, but I thought we should mix it up. So I think when we do the episodes, we should have a picture of the drink.
The picture of the drink as the bottle. Cover. As yeah. the cover of the drink.
Yeah,
yes.
yeah. So when I'm listening to our episodes back in the car, our logo comes up.
Okay.
Which is cool. The logo's cool, but the logo was designed a long time ago and I was on my own. But it would also be quite cool to maybe have a logo around whatever drink we've got.
Yeah, so just Dadcast. So the logo changes every week.
It's just every 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, same font, just different.
Just picture. Different beer.
I mean, it's more work for us, but hey-ho.
I don't mind.
It is what it is.
So, you know, we take a picture generally anyway, cool picture and put it on Instagram. So I thought we'd do that. So when they're listening, if they're listening in their car on like a smart screen or on their tablet, they can see the drink.
See the beer.
It's quite cool.
Yeah.
And I'm excited. That's I'm a bit nervous.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be fun.
Are you bottling it or are you putting it in the glass?
I'll put it in the glasses. I've got glasses for a reason.
Winner of Aldi's The Next Big Thing. Whoever came up with this idea, when they were in like a marketing room and they're like, right, let's go for beer flavours. Well, we'll go for something sweet or something a bit. Yorkshire pudding.
We've had blueberry maple pancakes and rainbow laces.
Rainbow laces, that was it. But they didn't really taste like that. So if this...
I can smell Yorkshire pudding.
If this tastes like an actual Yorkshire pudding, I'm going to be blown away. If we get that hint of gravy as well. Right, sniff test.
It smells like pancake mix.
I've got a bit of a blocked nose today, but I'm getting a slight battery smell. It's I would say that's a cloudy IPA. It is an IPA,
well,
isn't it?
It's a beer. It's beer. It's not an IPA. It's just
beer.
It's just beer.
Just beer. No type of beer. It's a cloudy beer.
I'd say like a lager, I guess. Beer, lager.
I mean, the head's quite small for a lager, and there's not much bubbles. I would say it's closer to ale, but I could be wrong.
Anyway.
Chin chin. Here we go.
Oh, it's actually very nice.
That's really nice.
That's really good.
That's out of all the weird beers we've had, that
in
is
my
very
mind,
nice.
I'm like, I'm just going to taste like Yorkshire pudding mix.
I can't taste Yorkshire pudding, but it's really nice.
I can smell it, just.
You know what I think's preventing me from tasting it is the bubbles. Although you can't see bubbles, it's actually quite a fizzy
beer. There is a
beer.
Fizz there, yeah. But it's actually really nice.
Yeah, I think the Yorkshire pudding thing, again, is a stretch.
I think the fact that it's not like 8%,
yeah,
probably is a good thing.
It doesn't taste like a light beer.
Because in our experiences, the higher the percentage goes, the bitterer and
it's not bitter. It's not bitter at all. It's nicer cold. I wonder if it wasn't, this is the opposite, I wonder if it isn't cold, whether you would taste it a bit more, because it's very cold and refreshing and fizzy.
I think cold is probably ideal. I think
chilled,
warm,
yeah.
Best served 12 degrees, it says. So maybe it's a little bit on the cold side.
I'm not getting a lot of Yorkshire pud.
No. But it's just, when you look at the ingredients, you've got water, malted barley, wheat, Yorkshire pudding.
they said like there's half of this is Yorkshire pudding.
Half, yeah. Because you've got water, malted barley, wheat, then Yorkshire pudding, wheat flour, calcium carbonate, iron, skimmed milk, free-range egg white, free-range whole egg, rapeseed oil, salts, hops and yeast.
You know what would make this a game changer? Is to actually use it in your batter to make Yorkshire puds. So it's a double Yorkshire pud.
Double Yorkshire pudding. I don't know how that would work. I don't know if that would work.
I don't know the science, Paul, but I think it's
I've made
poetic.
Yorkshire puddings before, and I don't think it... I mean, I can see the logic.
Double Yorkshire pud.
But I don't know if it would work.
It's like a double battered chip, isn't it? It's like when you know, triple cooked chips.
I suppose if you let it go flat...
Yep.
And then you use that as your substitute for water in the mix.
Worth an experiment. That's maybe. Actually very tasty.
It's very good. I enjoy
That's
it.
That's a really nice beer.
I've really like finished
said,
the beer off.
I think it's a little bit of a... Either my taste buds... Either I've got COVID.
Mm.
I can taste it, but I can't... In a lot of these recent beers, the flavour has been a bit of a poetic licence.
Mm.
Artistic licence.
I think a lot of it is. They're like, oh, I've put this one ingredient... It's got one raspberry in it.
So
therefore
it's beer.
Raspberry beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very much the case.
But... That is
either that or we're just really uncultured Neanderthals.
I would like to say that, but we both drink red wine.
Yeah, true.
You've become more cultured in the last month or two.
I have.
So, is that me? Ringing, or is that you?
I think that's you.
Is it me?
Sounds like the shame bell's ringing.
It is the shame bell. I don't normally have my phone on loud.
Shame.
That was the shame bell. So the phone has now been put on silent.
Right, so yeah, that is our Yorkshire pudding beer from Aldi.
Aldi. And how much was that, do we know?
I don't know.
It's got to be under £2.50,
yeah, that's
surely.
The bit I haven't done my research on. They have an Instagram page, at Yorkshire pudding beer.
We'll be tagging them. Although they might not like the fact that we've had a podcast saying that it doesn't taste like Yorkshire pudding, but it's very tasty.
Or they might send us more saying we'll prove you wrong.
Well, yeah.
And if you are listening, you can choose one of our sides, preferably mine.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I'm not saying it's a bad beer. I'm actually really enjoying that. So that is our beer this week. If you want to get involved in Yorkshire pudding beer, you need to go to Aldi and look for that. I haven't seen that myself, so maybe it's very seasonal.
Could
Don't
be a
hang
special,
about.
Could be a special buys job.
Yeah, exactly.
But they have their own Instagram page. And
that is quite nice.
A little tag, a little disclaimer, based on a 20-gram Yorkshire pudding.
That's not a very big Yorkshire pud.
No.
I was thinking one of those big fat ones that you
put
like a whole
dinner
plate in.
Homemade jobby.
Yeah.
Where it's like half inflated up.
Yeah. That would have been good. So that was a cool drink this week. That was a nice change up from sweet and obviously a nice change up from very strong.
Yeah.
So good choice there, Paul.
Thank you very much.
Well, good choice, Paul's roommate.
Yeah. Thanks, Roomie.
So there we go. So moving on to the next segment of our podcast, which generally is topics. What are we talking about?
To some holidays. Are they over yet?
It's kind of... Obviously, weather's been a bit crap, isn't it, in the UK? Yeah,
2 weeks in.
2 weeks in, the weather's been crap. I've already farmed the kids off for sleepovers, I think, twice.
Mm.
I've been at work a lot. By the time I come home, it's nearly bedtime.
Yeah.
So, for me, business as usual.
Yeah, I suppose it's just... I get home and they just... I think if they've been home all day where the weather's been crap, or if my mum's had them and the weather's been crap, they've just been like pad time is like unlimited.
Yeah.
And I get home and they're just like zombies and I'm like, do you want to do something a little bit more?
Yeah.
Like go outside or
yeah,
find
no.
some, you know.
No, Dad, we're on the pad now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm finding like the kids are great. They're good. There's no problems there. But Daisy is getting into moody pre-teenager phase.
Layla does this right.
Mm.
And Emily a little bit. And I'm 110% convinced it's just the pad.
100%.
As you pull them off YouTube or TikTok or whatever they've been, or if they've been playing Roblox, you pull them off that tab and the attitude is just ridiculous.
100% agree. 100% agree. And it's something that I'm becoming very much more conscious of. Like, Poppy is a snitch.
Mm.
You know, she's going to get stitches at some point because... She tells on Daisy whenever she does stuff. And she's like, Daisy's been commenting on TikTok. Now, I created an account for Daisy because they like using the filters.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you're not allowed to post. You're not allowed to do anything on there apart from use it like a camera to play with the filters and put funny filters on or whatever. Because she loves doing it. But Poppy comes down. She's been commenting on someone's post. So I called her down like, what are you doing? You're not allowed to do that. You're going to be banned. Because last time she had a TikTok... It was in my name, but she was posting.
Yeah.
All innocent stuff. But she got kicked off TikTok. She's not over 16. So she's remembered that ever since. So my threat today was, if you comment on people's stuff, you're going to get kicked off TikTok.
Hmm.
So she probably won't do it again. But yeah, it's just, there's a lot of the kind of like, whatever sort of vibe, yeah, without saying whatever. Because,
well, you ask them to do something, it's like the old Kevin, oh, so unfair.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that. So I'm getting a lot of that at the minute. But I think you're right. I tend to find that is when they've been on TikTok and YouTube Shorts a lot.
Yeah.
When they're playing Roblox, like you say, they have arguments and stuff, but they are present. And they're having fun.
Yeah.
And they're imagining stuff.
That's the difference. If they're both playing Minecraft Roblox together and they're having a bicker or whatnot, that's fine. That's just them like working together, playing a
collaboratively.
Game. That's fine. But when they've just been staring, scrolling through TikTok Shorts.
Yeah.
Or YouTube Shorts, rather, which is just full of crap.
It's full of crap, yeah. And there's a lot of swear words on there as well.
Yeah.
You know, and it's fine listening to me say it because I, you know, will correct.
If you're watching
myself.
My content, then you can watch it all day long. I don't mind.
I don't mind. Your kids can watch our content. There's only the odd swear in there, but, you know, they're. But it's always the. Like, our swearing is like as part of our language, but the swearing in those is deliberate and nasty and, yeah, it's not from a good place.
No. I think it's those. It's just that sort of zombie. Like, I completely understand like why they get grumpy, because sometimes if I've had a bit of a long session on the PlayStation and then I come off it, like, I can be a little bit irritable.
Well, you become antisocial.
Yeah.
Because you get in your bubble.
That's
and there's nothing wrong with being in a bubble. Like, if you're in a creative bubble, like, Daisy will do a lot of drawing and she's brilliant at it.
Mm.
And I love it when she goes onto YouTube and she gets up tutorials of how to draw something and she'll sit there and copy it. And she's brilliant.
Yeah.
That's the kind of YouTube I like. Educational, tutorial,
proactive, productive.
Yeah, exactly. Learning something, improving a skill. So when she does that, I love it. When she brings me a colouring and I'm like, that is awesome. You've done a brilliant job. And then Poppy likes to try as well and she's getting good at it. So there are goods on YouTube.
But
the problem is when it's unfiltered.
It's the abyss, isn't it? Like, we get stuck, like, you know, at night or sat on the sofa in the old TikTok black hole.
Yeah.
It's a similar effect.
Well, I'm thankful that I've really gone off TikTok. Mm. I've really gone off TikTok. One, my content never grabs anyone there. So I'm resent it from that perspective anyway. But yeah, I don't think about opening that app.
No. I go on it a lot. There are things on there. I watch a lot of mechanic TikToks.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the mechanic ones are great.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they're like, oh, you're doing this job. You try to do it like this way and you think, you bastard, why have I never thought about doing it that way?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, I watch it, like, you know, educational, it's fine.
I might watch the same stuff. I've never repaired a car in my life, but I'm like, oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah, so like, I watch a lot of those and a lot of my feed is just full of different mechanics.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at this tool, look at this way of doing this job. So that's quite good. But yeah, I don't, as for my content, I don't pay any attention to it.
No, and to be fair, I think there has been a drop-off on, and I don't know if it's, there's a specific reason behind it, but on TikTok, I see my stats drop off dramatically after a certain point. Like, I think it's like probably 4 months ago.
Okay.
Everything's dropped off from like automatically getting 1,200 views, which is not a lot on TikTok, but now it's like 400.
Yeah.
You know, and like Instagram has gone from 20 to 30 to 5. So again, it just feels like a bit of a weird place at the minute.
I think
where
all social media at the moment is in some weird negative space.
It really is, and it's like anti-win.
Yeah, it seems to be that way across the board as well.
Yeah, it's really anti-win, and they focus for me on the wrong content.
Mm.
You know, it is very much the throwaway stuff, and that's not necessarily the platforms doing that. It's what the users want to consume. But it has been kind of steered by the brands.
Yeah.
So, you know, when they favour that short kind of throwaway, doesn't benefit anyone, doesn't teach anyone anything. It's just consume this, laugh for a minute, move on.
Mm.
We've all become, you know, slaves to that instant gratification.
We did have that moan sort of pre-show, didn't we? About, we were looking through, like, just looking for Instagram and just random accounts. Like, you look at and compare them to, like, our own accounts. Like you say, the usual, just the brain melt, look at my setup, see you later. You're like 6 million views. Look at this really cool product. It's amazing. Like, look at all this effort I've put in. 5 views.
Yeah. It's a frustrating one. And I do get it to a point, is no one wants to just keep seeing stuff they're trying to be shoved down their throat and sold to. But I don't think a lot of our content is deliberately selling.
Mm.
We're just highlighting something cool. I mean, well, I'm very selective in the stuff that I post, and I tend to only take the stuff on that I think is cool And I would hope that other people in the tech community would look at it and go, that's really cool, I'll give you a like. But I'm getting like 200 likes with 80,000 followers.
Yeah.
And that's painful.
I think you're too, I think half the problem a lot of us have is you see someone's got a product, oh, that's really cool. Instead of thinking, I'm going to buy that, you're like, I'm going to message them and see if I can get it for free too.
Well, yeah, I think I definitely am wary of that. But I think we are probably thinking of 40 other creators. We still have thousands of followers that that's aren't in true. Tech. So there should be enough people, like, people who follow you should automatically like your content anyway if they follow you for a reason.
Yeah.
Now, I know that the way Instagram works, it probably only shows your content to 10%.
Okay.
So if we work on a 10% idea, should still be 8,000 people seeing each post.
True. Yeah.
And then of that, another 10% like it. Mm. So 800. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
But I'm not even getting 10% of 10%.
No.
I'm getting 5% of 10% of 10%.
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And it is frustrating. And it, you know, the thing is, it doesn't really motivate you to go above and beyond and work really hard on the content.
That's where you just go for that whole rinse and repeat. Here's my setup. See you later.
Well, you're driven by numbers. You're thinking, you know, the brands don't ask to, they seemingly don't go through your content and go, your content's great.
No, hang on a minute. I'm under good authority that every collab I've had, they've all said, we've seen your content, we really like it.
No. What they've said is, we've been following you for a while and admire your content.
But can you please send us your insights from your last four posts?
It's the insights. It's the insights that they want to see. And the problem is, insights at the moment are just garbage.
Yeah.
You know, they're not great. So, you know, and the frustrating thing is, the same amount of work goes into a reel that makes a million or a reel that makes 200. There is no rhyme or reason to it.
True.
It's not an exact science. Unless you have a very, very culty niche following, or you get your WAPs out.
Yeah.
You're not going to get these big numbers consistently.
No, I don't think I'm going to get big numbers if I get my WAPs out.
Well, I'd like it. I'd like it. But you know what I mean. You know, yeah. I think you have to have like very specific content to constantly get 4,000 or 5,000 likes every single time you post. Yeah,
or you're posting the same sort of basic
rinse
setup
repeat
three times a day. Mm. And it's just volume over quality.
Yeah. But anyway, we're digressing into
We started off on summer holidays and ended
we
up
did.
On content.
Yeah, so there we go. Yeah, we've covered those two topics. What's next?
So really down to the segment of games, tech and TV.
Mm. Well, should we start off tech with keyboards?
Let's do keyboards.
So I was speaking to one of my friends over at Razer about various tech, and just naturally got into the conversation of keyboards. We both have a lot of keyboards. And I teased him that I had a keyboard arrive today that was a bit special.
Yep.
And I've shown it to you before the podcast.
It's very special.
It's a very special keyboard. I am a sucker for keyboards that are in a case. So this one comes in a very, very nice case, but it's also very, very heavy.
Oh yeah, it's 6-7 kilos.
I don't think I'm not going to say what it is, just in case I've forgotten that I've signed the disclaimer on this one.
There's an NDA somewhere.
But it's a very, very nice heavy case with a latch. We'll do the latch sound.
Oh yeah, the case is, if you were going to a gig and you saw somebody carrying that case, you think there's a musical instrument in
violin,
there.
Violin, maybe.
Yeah, it's that brand. We won't go into too much on there. Like, their cases that their keyboards come in are just second to none.
Yeah, and then the keyboard itself weighs a ton.
Yeah.
And the design of this one is super exciting.
It's so cool.
So I can't wait to actually create content with this one. But yeah, keyboards at the moment are fun. And I feel like I don't need to custom that board.
That's about as custom as a keyboard can get.
Yeah, I don't need to do anything.
Like, that's the keyboard equivalent of, like, you know, like the motorcycle style PC case.
Yes.
That's like the keyboard equivalent to that.
You're not going to want to pull that apart and change the parts in it. It comes completely off the chart already.
Yeah, yeah.
And it might sound really clicky clacky. I don't know yet, but I'm not going to change anything on it.
So when I was having a little tap earlier, it sounded all right.
It sounded all right. Yeah. Mm. So that is absolutely insane.
Yeah, see, I'm quite new to the old keyboard game.
You're getting there. You had your first keyboard collab?
Yes.
And you got a spicy little Razer number.
Yep. Yeah, we've got my little huntsman at home.
You got your huntsman mini.
Love that.
And you got your first keycap.
Yeah.
Tell us more.
I bought a keycap from Temu. It was £4.
Temu is all the rage on Instagram at the moment. We talked about Temu today on
Temu
the Discord.
Temu is so good.
Are they genuine?
I put an order in,
yeah.
Got home, and Jess was like, do you not fancy asking me if I wanted to buy anything off Temu? I was like, not particularly.
No, not really.
I didn't really think of you, if I'm honest. I thought, oh, I'm going to put a quick order in because I've got this wheel that's spun. It says, if you buy three things, you get £100 worth of vouchers.
Yeah, I've had that spin quite a few times, and I've put stuff in my cart and I've never bought it.
It's such a con because I did it.
Yeah.
Spent like £11. Got myself some little nail cleaning kit.
Yeah.
And a torch for work. And my little Kirby keycap.
Yeah.
Then it's like, right, here's your 100, and we've given you an extra £20 voucher, but it's spread across several different tiers of clauses.
Right. So you've got to spend £1,000 to get the 110 quid so off, basically.
You've got £120 worth of vouchers, and it's £5 off if you spend over a fiver.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
£40 off if you spend over £100.
Clever marketing wording.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not getting any free stuff.
We're not giving you £100 for spending £10.
Yeah. Which, to be fair, I would kind of already burn a hole in their marketing there already. No one's giving away 100 quid's worth of free stuff. But you would think, like, if you buy 100 quid's worth of stuff, we'll give you another 100 quid's worth of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, buy one, get one free.
It's kind of like you have to spend this much and we'll give you this little bit more. Mm. So,
good old Temu.
And then you get 11 days to use it.
Oh, what? And then you have to return it?
No.
Oh, you get 11 days to use the discount?
Yeah.
The discount's only valid for 11. Paid for the keycap. You don't even own it.
Yeah, the discount's only valid for 11 days or something silly.
You've got to return it. But what was keycap like?
Hmm.
Was it realistic or did it look like did it look like Temu Kirby?
Kirby. You know, in the photos, it looked questionable. And I was like, it's like £4, you know? Like, what's the worst that could happen?
No foul.
Yeah, that's it. But to be fair, it actually looks quite cool.
You have to send me a picture later.
It was a bit tight getting it on the old Switch, but I don't know if that's just because, you know, it was probably made by a 4-year-old, but
that is probably the quality control from the 4-year-olds is not what it used to be.
Could be made out of Play-Doh. You know,
if it was 4-year-olds from the '60s, it would have been so much better.
I'll send you a picture. We'll put a picture up on the Dadcast stories to see
the team. I'm intrigued because if I can get keycaps for £4, I'm all in.
The one pivotal moment of it is I got home, opened it up, fit it, then I was like, go hop in the bath now. I've just gotten from work. All I can hear is Emily going, something's happened to the computer, and no one's listening. Stuck. And then Jess is like, what? And she's like, Mum, something's happened to the computer. She's like, speak to your dad. And Emily's going, there's a Pokemon on the keyboard. And I was thinking, you're no longer my child.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a keycap, sweetie.
Yeah, I'm like, one, it's Kirby, it's not a Pokemon.
Oh, I've got a keycap that I haven't opened yet. So basically, I was invited to take part in a release of a keycap.
Mm-hmm.
And the keycap never arrived.
Oh,
I missed.
That's good, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. I missed the campaign. It was obviously one of those group buys, so it was a limited window.
Okay, I think I have a guess of who the collab was with.
Yes. Yeah. So it was with Dwarf Factory.
Yeah.
One of my kind of the brands regulars. That I really enjoy working with. They make great products, really detailed stuff. Didn't get it. First time it's happened, but I've had a few things go missing here recently. I lost a whole chair.
A whole chair?
A whole chair went missing. Apparently it was delivered. And it was signed for, but no proof of delivery, just a signature. But it wasn't even a name that lived here. It was my surname, but with a completely different first name, so God knows.
But it was chosen at random.
So that was, that was a £400 chair.
Fucking hell.
Luckily, the brand sent another one.
Mm.
Then the keycap went missing. And I'm like, there's a pattern here.
Yeah.
They've got some delivery guy with his hands in his pockets. Turns out, he threw it over my fence.
The keycap?
Yep. Found it covered in leaves and wetness down the side alleyway of the house, probably 2-3 weeks after.
What about the chair? Was that over there as well?
No, the chair, sad. I did look for the chair, but
under
sadly,
the keycap.
Sadly, it wasn't there. But the keycap was over the fence. So I missed the campaign. I haven't made any content with it.
Are they not like letterbox size boxes?
Yes, which is weird.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you just stuff it through the letterbox?
I mean, the worst that's going to happen is the cat's going to wee on it.
Well, exactly. So... I'm going to try and find it while you fill.
Fill? I mean, I'm just going to carry on sipping on my Yorkshire pudding.
Drink your Yorkshire pudding beer. is one of these. So I've got three boxes here, two of which are empty. So it's going to be one of these ones. This one feels...
Dwarf Factory do make some incredible keys.
This one feels a bit heavier. Nope, that was empty. That was a false...
Like there's a weird magnet in there.
Yeah, so basically they got rid of the little condom finger packets, you know, that you used to put on to take the keycaps out with.
I mean, they had double use. They did
exactly. They were real to size. Here we go. So now they use this thing where you basically put in. You do the experience because you've not had a Dwarf Factory yet.
No, I'm not.
You try
my
the context experience.
Not there yet.
Here you go. So Paul is trying out a Dwarf Factory keycap, which I think are probably up there with some of the best in the world.
So it's just like a little...
So a little magnet, then you pull out. So other side's a magnet. That's it. Pull it out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that is quite cool, actually.
And then you can see the keycap on the magnet bit.
And we've got a little spaceman, little space surfer.
Space surfer, yeah. I went for the space surfer one. So there was like six designs for that one. This is kind of like an orange-blue... in space vibe, yeah, with so an like astronaut in an orange astronaut suit.
It's like a little floating car, like a little flying car, like industrial style car, but
he's like in his little spaceship.
Yeah, little resin. He's having a little surf around as he's cruising around.
Very cool.
It's very cool.
Very detailed, all hand painted.
Yes, it's very good. They must have been great at Warhammer.
So what you should do is you should take that home and put it on your another key and see what Layla says to that. She'll be like, "We're being invaded." Something's happened.
Okay.
Oh. So, yeah, that's one that,
it's very cool.
Came and got thrown over the fence.
Yeah, I know. I've got on the keyboards, I've got a keyboard coming that I've had an email today, so it should be delivered Monday.
Ooh, nice.
That's, it's really, they wanted me, it was a collaboration that came through just for a keycap puller.
Yeah.
Quite cool looking keycap puller. It does, what the caps one side, switches the other side.
Yep.
Quite cool. But I was like, you do keyboards as well, so how about if you send me a keyboard and the puller?
Yeah,
and then I can incorporate two of your products.
Yeah,
in one.
Yeah, because otherwise I'm pulling stuff from another brand.
Yeah, yeah, and they were kind of like, okay, that's fine. I gave them my preferable, you know, keyboard that I wanted from them.
Yeah,
it may or may not have been the best one they did, the most expensive one they did, and then we settled for one somewhere a little bit lower down the budget.
You've got to start somewhere.
But yeah, it's good enough. It's a little 60% jobby. So
nice. Nice. You're going to have to get a pegboard keyboard wall like everyone does these days.
I plan to when the lodge is built.
Well, we could probably make that a joint keyboard wall. I'm sure I've got enough kicking around that I can put down there.
A in quoted theme idea. For decorations of the inside all ready to go as well.
Very nice.
I've got a colour scheme and everything all laid out.
Nice.
We'll need to actually do it.
We'll keep that a secret for nearer the time because that can make a very good dadcast
episode.
And
that could be like 12 months from now at the rate I'm going.
Yeah, exactly. And the way rates are going.
Yeah.
So there we go. Keyboards are fun,
fun.
And they are addictive.
Cool. So go to TV next. I'm going to save games till last because question time fits
we've
into...
We've got a few good questions there this week.
Well, I think I'm going to save some. They're all from the same person, but I think we'll save a few of them. But some of the other game topics we've got, we can sort of get gaming in towards the end would make
like
sense.
Like it.
So I've just finished Silo.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a very good TV series on Apple TV.
We talked about Silo last time, and we definitely like played this definitely got the Fallout vibes.
Yeah, because I think you've already seen it.
I haven't seen all of it.
Not all of it. I was so far in, I was like four episodes in when we last came around.
And then you went off and read the books.
I researched the books. Yeah. But it's very good. So maybe I'm just forgetting time, and maybe I had finished it last time.
I don't know, but we definitely talked about Common being typecast as a bad guy and everything he kind of plays.
So maybe I have finished it. So we're just doubling up on things now. We'll ignore that.
it's definitely a good program. I think at the minute I am still pretty hooked on Formula One Drive to Survive.
So good.
It's really good, and I watched it the wrong way around. I think I started it in season 4.
Okay.
Finished season 5, which is the latest one,
mm.
and then it went all the way back to season 1, and it completely threw me. I was like, what is going on?
Why
all
is the Max drivers, winning?
Yeah, all the drivers are in different teams, and suddenly Hamilton is winning. But it's because it went back to season 1 where Mercedes are
flying,
dominating everything, and Red Bull. But it is really interesting. And
you've got a big crash coming up.
I've watched
Magnussen's crash.
No, haven't got that far yet. No. So I'm in back in season three now, and there was a death in Formula Two.
Yeah, Alex Albon's friend. Yes. No, Pierre Gasly's friend, yes. Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which was in a recent episode. But no, I haven't seen that yet. But that's really good. And then obviously we've got the excitement of a racing wheel coming.
Yeah.
At some point.
And you're loving the F1 video game though.
Yeah, F1 23.
Yeah.
Is a really good game. We'll get into that in a minute. But yeah, so I'm watching that at the minute. I've just got this thing about documentaries at the minute, especially like it's quite nice to watch things that you don't necessarily know a lot about.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it kind of, yeah, like we watched the Tour de France one. It was brilliant. It was loads of stuff I didn't even realise.
The Tour de France one, I'm quite interested in watching because if it's done like Drive to Survive, then the drama and the build-up, it's very much like that.
I think it's also Netflix-driven.
Yeah.
But yeah, they obviously dramatise it. And they splice it to suit a good narrative.
Yeah, because you see the same with Formula One, you'll see the same shots several times.
Yes,
yeah.
And they do the same with Tour de France. So basically, you might go through the whole season with one team, and then the next episode you go back and start again with the other team from their perspective.
Mm.
So it's a bit like that with Drive to Survive. And then we went straight from Tour de France into the Lance Armstrong documentary film.
Okay,
which was a film of it. But it also used a lot of real content in it, and then went into F1 Drive to Survive. And now there's the Mark Cavendish documentary about his cycling career.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say I'm massive into either of them, but having watched them behind the scenes, you suddenly think, that's actually really interesting. And now I'm like all into Formula One.
Yeah, there's a Wimbledon one as well, but I don't know if I can get into that.
I don't know about tennis. I don't know about it. But on the Formula One side, I've now got the Formula One app. I've got Formula One 23 on the TV. I've got a wheel coming. So that one's been really enjoyable, in fairness. But yeah, some real characters.
You've been watching the races this season?
Yeah, but the problem is it's all on Sky.
That's bastard.
It's really annoying. So the other night, I think it was the Dutch. Was it Belgium or Dutch? It was Belgium the week before.
Spa's just been, I think. So yeah.
Is it Belgium?
Could be, yeah. Yeah, I think it was.
For our Belgium listeners. And I wanted to watch it, so but I couldn't get it because it's on Sky. I'm not paying £40 a month just to
That's
get Formula
stupid,
One.
Isn't it?
So I put on the Formula One app with the live commentary and the live race map,
okay,
which was quite cool. And then I could play PS5 while doing that. So yeah. I was like playing Far Cry 6 and then looking over and seeing the race. But it's all very much
Channel 4
Verstappen at the moment.
Channel 4 do a good highlight show for it once the race is over, which is quite good to watch.
Yeah,
but
I've never traditionally been good at watching stuff afterwards, apart from maybe Match of the Day. I like to watch it live.
Somebody the other day did tell me that they do watch
I don't know that one.
Oh, hello.
Neither do I, mate. Somebody the other day did tell me they do watch it on like a
non-official site.
On a non-official site, which I haven't done. I haven't even looked for yet.
I've never done that, Paul.
Because in my mind, I was like, you can't do that with live sports. If it's a film or something, fair enough. But I was like, you can't do that with Formula One, surely it doesn't exist. Apparently it does.
There's a route to everything out there on the internet, Paul.
Yeah.
The dark web is a scary place.
He's too much of a good boy.
But yes. That's the kind of TV I'm liking a minute. I'm less into drama series and films, and I've been watching a lot of real life documentaries, which I guess in a kind of way, like we talked about the girls and watching YouTube. It's quite nice to watch real life stuff.
It is, yeah. It is a bit. Not pretend lives.
Exactly. So yeah, that's my TV at the minute.
Yeah, so aside from the usual anime binges that I live off, I've watched a couple of documentaries recently, which I've watched. One which is called Get Smart With Money.
Mm-hmm.
Just one about, you know, finance and stuff, which is actually quite interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was all very American, so it kind of probably doesn't really apply to us. And like a lot of the people on there were like, yeah, so I make like, one of them was like NFL player. You know, making bank. One of them is like a woman who's got her own business doing 300k a year.
Yeah.
And you're like, this isn't really for the average Joe, is it?
I don't know what it is about the UK, but like when I watch a lot of these influencers from America and they're like, this is how I make $50,000 a month by selling courses.
Yeah.
No one's doing that in the UK.
No one.
Absolutely no one.
Somebody's like, will you give me 20 grand and I'll tell you how to log on this website and do this course. You're like, no.
There is no money in the UK.
No.
It just feels like there is absolutely no entrepreneurship. And like
the main gist I got from this show was, one, don't buy stupid things.
Yep.
And, you know, live to a budget or to your means.
Don't buy coffee.
Which I'm kind of like...
I do that every day.
That's just standard common sense, surely.
Yeah, standard common sense. And that is the UK like, economy.
They're the conversation of, well, you're spending all this money. Why are you buying grated cheese when it's like 3 times cheaper to buy just a block? And I'm like, do you really have to have this conversation? Like, surely that's just common sense. Apparently not. Anyway, Americans.
Okay.
Yeah, or just to buy both, as Carly said.
Or just buy both, yeah. And to be honest with you, if the sum of me getting through life is deciding between grated cheese and solid cheese, then I need to not be here anymore.
And then they're just saying like, you know, oh yeah, go on this stock thing and just buy this, put money into this stocks and shares account, and that will slowly, over the next 10 years, give you loads of money. And I'm like, so this whole get smart with money is basically meal prep for a week, which I'm pretty...
We have got both cheeses.
You have got both.
My wife has just brought out both cheeses. Stop being frivolous with grated cheese.
See, if you were more frugal and just grated that cheese yourself,
we could have paid off our mortgage by now if you hadn't bought that grated.
In 35 years, you could be a millionaire.
It's getting hard to eat.
Well, there is that as well. There is that. But it's expensive.
Yeah, it was quite a good watch. And there are some things. Like, there was one thing that really sort of, I would say, yes, that's good advice.
Yep.
And that was somebody was saying that you have need it, want it, need it, like it, want it, love it.
Yeah.
And that's how you sort of, there's a criteria for what you buy. Like, you need something, you need it to live. Food shopping, electric, gas, things like that. And there's like, you want something just because you want it, or you like, you know, you're only going to get X amount of like joy and worth of spending that money, which actually is quite a good way of,
So what you're saying with that, the two extremes are need it and love it.
Yeah.
So you should sack off, want it.
And like it.
And like it.
They're the two.
Because those are impulsive purchases.
Basically, yes. Yeah. So whereas if you need it,
it
is a necessity to life. It is your mortgage.
And if you love it, you're basically going to get maximum value from that thing.
Exactly.
So basically what you're saying is I can go out and buy a new graphics card for
because
2 grand.
Because you love it.
Because I love it.
Exactly, yeah.
Carly! New graphics card.
No.
And that, because you love it, it's fine.
There you
but
go.
To be fair, like...
I'm getting new trainers then.
It's how a friend of
you've
mine...
you've already had 10 new trainers this year.
Me and a friend at work, it's how we justify buying video games.
Yeah.
Because we look at it in hours.
Hours. Well, that's fair, like value for money.
Yeah, so if you know like...
VFM.
Like Elden Ring. Well, I looked the other day. I've got 180 hours logged up in Elden Ring. Quite low compared to some of my friends.
Yep.
But it's a £50 game.
Yeah.
So if you look at it pound an hour.
It's not about the size of your hours, Paul.
No. If you look at it pound an hour, for the £180 worth of £60 game.
Yeah, I know. Games for me, like, I know games get a bad rap. And I think justifiably so if the game is bugged and not complete.
Mm.
But if you release a good game, Dead Island 3, like I've just played, Days Gone, you know, whatever. They didn't really have massive patches or, you know, additions, whatever. They just came out and they were just good games.
Mm.
Last of Us 2, Last of Us 1, you know, all of those. They didn't really need any fixing. They just were good games and you enjoyed them. And, and you always know when you've played a good game because you finish it and you're ready to finish it. You're ready. It's like, it's not left you hanging on. It's not giving you too much of a good thing. You know, Dead Island 3, yes, I would have liked to continue playing it. But equally, I feel satisfied that I got my money's worth. Destiny was a big one for me. Destiny 1, I paid over 3,000 hours.
If that game was £60 when it came out.
And I probably bought 4 expansions.
Yeah.
Vault of Glass, you know, Crota, King's Fall, you know, all of those extra expansions. I probably would have paid 30, 40. I probably spent like a few hundred quid on the game. But again, 3,000 hours, if you put that down to a pound an hour, like you were saying, it was worth it.
Yeah, it pays for itself.
Yeah.
It works. And I think that's a good way of looking at pretty much anything, like the same... like it, love it sort of things. You're gonna, it costs this much, but how many hours of joy am I gonna, or you know, am I gonna get from having this?
Yeah, this is why we've hired a cleaner called Mansuela, who looks like a Colombian glam model. love it
Bunda. Right, so anyway, That was TV.
That was TV. So not much on at the moment, to be fair.
No, there's not much on. I mean, anime's in a really good position, but you're not really an anime fan.
No, I wouldn't know what you're talking about.
No. I mean, there's so much good shit happening. So much good shit. So you saw Barbie the other week, yeah. And I want to know your thoughts on this, because I'm actually really excited to go and see it eventually.
Okay, so...
I'm going to get my shoes on ready.
The thing is, I don't want to spoil it for you, because if you want to go watch it, then you need to go there with an open mind, because I'd be interested to see what your reaction is rather than me tell you what I think.
Okay.
So I'm going to try and not kind of give anything away.
Did you like it?
Yes.
Good.
What I'm going to say is Ryan Gosling is amazing in it.
Okay.
I don't think he's supposed to be amazing in it,
but, he
but he's amazing in it. Just like, you know, it's... not his atypical role.
Mm-hmm.
I know he likes to dance in a lot of his films, so I think the choreography and the dancing and stuff, he's cool with that because he's done it in quite a lot of films. But, you know, he's not playing a very cool guy. He kind of is, but he isn't.
Yeah.
He definitely comes across as a bit of an anti-hero in the film.
Okay.
That you're not supposed to like him, but you can't help but cheer for him.
Mm.
Maybe that's from a guy's perspective. Margot Robbie... I thought was very good.
I mean, she can be in anything and be good.
Yeah, yeah. But she was, in fairness, she was very good. And it was nice of the way they did it that Barbie's losing her Barbie-ness because the whoever's playing with her in the real world is going through tough time and stuff. It's like very much like a Toy Story connection between the creator or the imagination person who's playing with them at the other end is basically becoming a bit disillusioned with life and depressed and whatever, and that affects Barbie in the Barbie world.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of like fourth wall being broken, where there's two worlds that exist in tandem.
It's like a joint consciousness kind of thing.
Yeah. But the weird thing is that Barbie transverses from Barbie land, where everything is like fake, plastic, and perfect, to driving into the real world and suddenly they're in real world stuff.
Okay.
And everything's not it's just, it's very cinematic, but a bit odd.
Yeah, because I've seen, there's been a few, like, obviously stills on Instagram and stuff. And I'm quite interested to see what I can figure out or see is there's lots of, like, nods and Easter eggs towards other films and things I've seen. Whether they've just been, like, promotional art or promotional trailers.
Yeah.
It seems to be there's, like, a couple of little scenes which are, like, comparable to other films in history, which I don't know if they've done that.
Yeah, so the very beginning, it goes back to the space film.
Space Odyssey.
Yeah. And yes, very much artistically driven, that it's supposed to tongue-in-cheek copy.
I feel like they've had to do something like that to make the film...
credible.
Yeah, credible and current. Mm. Because if they just went in a straight-up live action Barbie, it's just not going to work.
Yeah, I mean they've tried to, in my opinion, and it is only my opinion, it's very socially charged, but almost to the point where they're shoving it down your throat for a couple of hours. And you know, I think it tries to push a feminist agenda, and rightly so, because Barbie was a feminist movement.
Yeah.
But at the expense of making every guy in the film stupid.
Okay.
And that's what... I made a comment on Threads where I said I felt like the film was very man-hating.
Mm.
And maybe that wasn't the right terminology at the time, because it doesn't hate necessarily on men, but it stereotypes them as all greedy, stupid, you know, lechy.
Yeah.
You know, it goes for the worst common denominator because it's easy to do.
Okay.
And it doesn't really paint a fair struggle, but that's where Ken actually saves it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he becomes very self-aware, and he starts off being a stereotypical guy, wants to ride horses, you know, wants to go in, you know, sees everyone in the gym looking buff and whatever. But outside of him, everyone else seems very cliche, to the point it's lazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was kind of my opinion. It just felt like it was an easy target, and it was just like double down on stupid men who are in positions of power because they don't deserve to be there. Actually we know that most guys work fucking hard to get where they got to, and it didn't need to dumb them down. It would have been better in some ways if they'd have made them capable but nasty.
Yeah.
So make a proper bad guy. you know, someone who's become a millionaire CEO of Mattel will actually make them fairly intelligent and evil if you want to go down that narrative.
Make them in, like...
But they made like 20 male boardroom members thick as shit. And that's when I kind of was just like, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's almost like a...
You're pandering now to like toxic femininity. And it just, I was just like, nah.
Not for you. Not for me. That's fair enough.
But the rest of it I enjoyed.
Really good, yeah.
Like I said, you know, I would give it a good review as a film because cinematography great, that you know, the lead actors were great. If you were able to cut through the bullshit, it was a good film. It was fun. It was fun to watch. But it felt uncomfortable.
It looks very well sort of executed and polished.
I'll definitely go and see it. It's a good film.
As a dad of two, I've seen countless Barbie films.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be like any Barbie that you've seen before.
Because Layla's got all the princess ones on DVD.
Nothing like that.
And when they first said they were doing a Barbie film, I'm thinking, well, if you're going to do like one of them films...
This is like the Zack Snyder of Barbie.
Yeah, I'm like, it's just not going to work. Yeah. So I'm quite happy that it's gone down a different route.
The thing with the kids watch it and they don't pick up on all of the political and gender... kind of like undertone of it. They just don't get it. They just see Barbie and it's funny Barbie, and they're dancing and, you know, there's some funny comments and people get hit and they fall over. And, you know, I think it for kids, they kind of miss. It's like watching The Simpsons.
Yeah.
You know, they just see it as a funny cartoon, whereas we get the adult undertone of everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think Barbie just, they just tried really, really hard to be a bit controversial. And I think they just missed the mark on that.
I think to a degree, they probably had to try and do something like that just to give them an edge. Just because it's one of those films where on face value, you think that's going to be terrible.
Well, let's be honest. Their target market probably wasn't men.
No.
Whereas, you know, Oppenheimer, although many women are saying they absolutely love the film. It was amazing.
Yeah, see, that's one film that is top of my list to go and see.
Yeah.
And I want to go to the cinema to experience it.
Apparently it's incredible. It's incredible.
My apprentice went to see it. And he came back saying, I walked out after 40 minutes because I didn't understand it. It was horrible. And I'm sort of like, you're probably just stupid. He's probably belongs in the Barbie world.
if you're listening, you should give it another go.
Yeah, he won't listen. He's a quitter. It's not Brad, don't
worry. He'll listen to 20 minutes of the episode and then he won't listen, so it doesn't matter.
He won't understand it, yeah. But that's fine. But yeah, Oppenheimer is one that I really want to go see. Also, the new Gran Turismo film.
Yes, Gran Turismo 7.
That looks
awesome with Hopper from Stranger Things.
Yeah. So when I first heard there's a Gran Turismo film coming out, I was like, how are they going to do it? Found the trailer. It's actually quite a cool take on how they're going to do it.
Does it feel a little bit like Formula One Drive to Survive? Because the trailer looks a little bit like it's supposed to be a docu kind of film.
So what I've picked up is you've got... Video gamer, average guy, me or you, likes playing racing sims.
I'm below average.
Ends up doing like a tournament thing. Gets onto like simulator racing team.
Yep.
Then from that, there's obviously some program somewhere where we're going to take one of your sim racers and we're going to turn them into a race car driver.
Right.
And so they basically train him up.
So this could be like me with my Formula One wheel that's coming.
Could be.
They would just see me and go, Matt, your skills are amazing.
You can drive that track. You can, you know, it's going to be the army advert. If you can race in your living room, you can drive this.
If you can make it to work when you're 10 minutes late already, you can drive a sports car.
Yeah. If you can win the Belgium Grand Prix in your living room in your underwear, you can hop into this McLaren and you can do.
I see the logic. Yeah. I'm holding out hope that I have a future.
And I think
in Formula
One. That is basically the premise of it. They've got a video game driver, and they're going to put him in a race car.
Love it. Yeah, and already, sold.
The advert or the trailer's already got people going. This guy races in video games. Is this safe?
I'm in. Hopper's in it. If video gamers come out on top, I'm in.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's going to be a good...
It does look good. I mean, the last Gran Turismo I played, like I said, off air, was probably back on the PS3. And I remember getting this Toyota... Like, the top-end car was a Toyota sort of Formula-esque car. Yeah. And it just decimated everything. Like, you could literally... I think the trick at the time was putting an elastic band around the controller and putting some tape on the throttle. Because even if you were hugging the wall... all the way around the track, you would still win because it was just so fast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But I've got the latest one at home on PlayStation, so if you want to borrow
it. Have you?
Yeah, you can have it.
Gran Turismo 7? Or six?
Six. Like, six. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I haven't played it. Yeah, no, that would be awesome. Once I've kind of burnt myself out on Formula One, another funny thing off topic is I've been looking on Facebook Marketplace for racing helmets. Because when I do my reel on the racing wheel, I want to have the full gear.
You've got a helmet, race suit.
But I can't find one I like, or they're too small, or they're really expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
For one that looks like a, that could be a Formula One.
I think the best option you've got is bicycle helmet.
Yeah.
I think that just look really funny.
It would be funny. But yeah, no, it would be really cool. You know what I thought would be a really cool thing is if, because obviously you can use the MetaQuest to race in 3D, I'm presuming the PC version of Formula One, is if I 3D printed a helmet that allowed you to strap on the MetaQuest 2 inside the helmet.
That'd be cool.
So the front of the helmet would be hollowed out to fit a MetaQuest. You could have the helmet on to give you that sense of I'm in a car, and then you pull the headset on over the top, and that's your visor, your goggles. That would be sick.
That would be sick. That'd be very cool.
Wouldn't it? And then you could have like the headphones inside the helmet so that when they're talking to you, that it's in your ears. And you've got the VR goggles giving you 360 degree.
No, I'm with you.
That would be incredible.
That would be cool.
So if I've got any 3D printer friends listening to this, let's pair up and try and make something.
We need a fully functioning helmet.
A fully functioning helmet with padding and headphones that can incorporate a MetaQuest 2 for Formula One.
That's a big ask.
It'd be a lot of resin or whatever they use to print that off, but it'd be cool as.
Barbie dolls melted.
Yeah. Yeah. So there we go.
That would be cool. I still think, like, if you see like the artsy shots for this, like a really cool pan, like, and like a bit of like lens flare past the helmet, I think that same shot, but it's a push bike helmet.
Yeah.
Would be funny.
We'll see. We'll see.
So yeah, so that's TV then.
I finished the Yorkshire pudding beer, by the way. It's very rare for me to finish a beer on stream.
We've been going for over an hour, so.
And really... I've polished that off. That was actually, it actually tasted more like Yorkshire pudding as it got warmer. So I think we were right. It was too cold.
It did 12 degrees, which
is not frozen.
No.
I mean, there was a lot of condensation on that glass. I reckon it was a bit colder.
It was cold. I was worried. I've no, with our normal trend is they're too warm.
They're too warm.
So I was trying to go the opposite.
Yeah.
But
lesson learned.
Video games.
Yes. What's the questions from Lee?
Do you not want to talk about what you're playing at the minute?
I'm playing Formula 123.
And Far Cry 6.
And Far Cry 6. Now, Far Cry 6, Far Cry is always good.
Yeah.
It's always good. Now, I missed the gravy train on Far Cry 6, and it's been on PS Plus.
Yeah.
So I got it for free. So I'm a year and a half.
I'm in copy. You got to borrow it.
I know. I'm probably a year and a half late to the party on that one. But sometimes it's nice to miss it and then have a free version to kind of get it to you, because it is a big game. It's a big game, and like a lot of big games, and we've had this gripe before. There is a lot of copy paste content. Go capture a road checkpoint. You know, go and blow up an anti-aircraft gun. You know, there's a lot of
Far Cry through and through.
Yeah, there's a lot of rinse repeat, which. In fairness, it does in a way that doesn't feel massively boring.
No.
But there is an element of that, which Assassin's Creed has.
The weapons and the diversity in there make a difference.
Yeah, it does. You do tend to get a little bit safe on the guns that you like.
Mm-hmm.
But the mechanics are lovely. The scenery is amazing. The vehicles feel good. They look cool. Planes, you know. The thing I like about Far Cry is you can pretty much get in anything.
Yeah.
They got like, you know, the hover aircraft, the hover helicopter. It's a bit of a tongue twister. Hover helicopter.
Yeah. Well, you've got like a go-kart.
Yeah.
That turns into an airplane.
Yeah. That has a fan at the front and a fan at the back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that thing like maneuvers.
Yeah.
It's
so
like
cool.
Really cool. And because it's also a hovercraft, you can hovercraft on the ocean.
Yeah.
So you can go below radar. So there's loads of cool stuff on that. That's really fun. But that's like my filler game. If I just want something to chill, 11 o'clock at night.
So it's got like some cool...
jump on, give it an hour.
But the mechanics in there are all pretty cool. And you've got like the little ultimate button where you can like shoot rockets at your back.
Yeah.
And
yeah, yeah, yeah. The Supremos, whatever they call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's it.
So that's really cool. So that game's really good. That's definitely my filler game at the moment when I can't think of what I want to do and I just want something that's good.
Because the story itself is very interesting.
It's pretty good. Yeah, like all the tobacco plantations and
the fact that
chemicals.
They found a cure for cancer in the tobacco leaf, which they're then producing, but also the chemicals they use to make the cure are carcinogenic and causing it, or causing a separate cancer or a different illness altogether.
Yeah.
Which, like, it's this very, like, catch 22 big pharma sort of conspiracy, yeah, isn't it?
Definitely. Like, you know, started off with good intentions and quickly turned very dark.
All money got there and...
Yeah, and obviously you got the bad guy from Breaking Bad in it, which just makes it automatically very
cool.
He does
such a good job.
Yeah, very, very cool. And the story of Carlos versus the son. Did you go male or female?
I went female.
You went female. So I went male. So it's, I think the name is Danny. It's Danny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry. So Danny is like male
or
female.
It's a very gender neutral name.
Very
yeah.
gender neutral. So yeah, I went with Danny the guy.
Mm.
And yeah, he's very likable. And then obviously the kid of the dictator likes you and has a connection and stuff, so
yeah,
it's a good game. So that's definitely my game for all occasions. And then Formula One is when I want to proper get my teeth into a sim game and sweat out 15 laps.
Yeah,
but it can be very frustrating. There's a lot of shouting when people have just clipped your tire and you've gone off.
Clipped your tire and your whole car's exploded.
Well, the thing is, the only thing I would comment on those games is they are realistic to a point. But if you crash, you should be out of the race.
Mm.
And then it should affect your career. But it doesn't do that.
No, it doesn't give you the hard stop of...
It really doesn't. Now, I kind of get why, because it would be anti-fun if you crash after lap one. But that is what happens in Formula One.
Mm.
And I think they should design the sim story that if you crash too much, you will lose your seat with the team.
Yeah.
And you'll be out of the Formula One and maybe go back to Formula Two. Or... you have to basically negotiate contracts with lower teams or whatever.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You can go in straight as a Red Bull racer.
I mean, if it was like a FIFA like tournament or campaign or something, then you'd get that sort of thing going on.
You've been benched.
Yeah.
And I think it would benefit from crashing feeling more... And the thing is, I know you crash a lot. So when I've turned off a lot of the brake assist and steering assist because I want it to feel realistic.
Yeah.
But you crash a lot. Mm. And you break your car a lot. So maybe because the default when you load up the game is to have a lot of steering assist, braking assist, racing line assist, you could keep that on if the penalties for getting it wrong were more harsh.
Yeah.
So you crash the car, you're out of the race.
Mm.
That's it, you're done. You don't get your promotion, you don't get any XP, you go down the reputation ranking. And if you're in, if you keep doing that, you're in danger of losing your seat
with
the team.
If you get to this position, then you're
going to be replaced, or you're going to be sacked by that team, and then you end up dropping down to a lower team. I think I would like that more. I think I would like that more than being able to absolutely trash your car, press square, and rewind by 20 seconds and do it again. That's not real.
No, but I suppose it is, like you say, it's that delicate balance of being a full simulator or racing for fun. Which I suppose if you just put it as a difficulty setting, like realism.
Well, they should give you the option of full career with exact crash.
Yeah, you just have like a realism career and you just have
if
arcade
you crash
career.
Out.
Yeah.
And maybe don't make the driving so hard. Don't make it like you're going to spin out on every single corner. Because like I said, with the PS5... you do have the pressure-sensitive triggers where if you really yank the trigger straight out of a corner, you're going to spin. If you don't brake, you know, properly, you're going to lock up and go into a wall. But yeah, I think it's not quite got the balance right where you feel you're a bit invincible and you can just crash six times.
It is pretty... they go in hard on the simulation aspect of it, of they want it to be as real as driving an F1 car is, and the fact is it is just absolutely nails. It's difficult.
It's very good. And what the one other thing I would like, and again, I haven't quite mastered all the controls yet, but I would like the pit crew to give you more decisions and tell you what to do.
Oh yeah, that's one on the last. I think it's 21 or 22 that I've got. Trying to navigate that through those little menus whilst doing 300 mile an hour into
a
corner.
It's hard, isn't it? And that's the same with 23. Is it's like press X to bring up the menu, then R1 to go right. And I'm trying to keep one eye on the track and one eye on what I'm doing there. And then when I press whatever, it doesn't do anything. It's like I don't get what I'm supposed to be doing. Like I'm asking for a race update. No one's talking.
No.
I'm asking for fastest lap information. No one's talking. I'm pressing the buttons.
Nothing's
happening. So I just ignore it.
Yeah.
But I would like them to say, like, you can push hard on this lap, push, 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 like they do in the, in yeah. the program. Or, like, you know, your tyres are not looking so good. On the next lap, you need to come in and do a pit stop. Mm. You know, or ask, would you like to change your tyres? You know, got a bit of rain coming in. Yes. Do you want to change? No, well, it doesn't feel very interactive.
Because you get the pit strategies, don't you, where you say, on lap 7, I'm going to change to this tyre.
Yeah.
And it basically puts that in as like a hard stop where it goes, right, lap 7, lap 6, it's there going, get ready. Lap 7, it's there going, box, box, box. And that's when you've told them you're going in at lap 7. Lap 7, they're telling you to come in.
Yeah.
But if you've shredded your tyres in lap 3, that's on you.
Yeah, so I like it, but there are, for me, some glaring things that take you out of the immersion.
Mm.
On it, basically. But otherwise, yeah, cool.
Very good. Cool. So, my games aren't that fun. I'm still playing Diablo, so that's that.
Well, we've covered that for free podcasts in a row. You need to get a different game, Paul.
Yeah. I'm toying with buying Final Fantasy or Star Wars. So,
yep.
They're on my list.
Well, I've got Star Wars.
The only reason I want to buy Star Wars is because I've got a lightsaber coming in the post for a collab.
Nice. That's, well... I've got it. Take it. I finished it.
On PlayStation?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll do a trade. I'll bring...
You bring the other one.
I'll bring Gran Turismo.
So the three I've got are Returnal, Sackboy, and Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Mm. So just take Star Wars. I finished it.
Cool. I might do that. Then I can buy Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
But it's really sad because I only wanted to get Star Wars so I could get a screen to the workbench and I could... Because I've got Cal's lightsaber coming.
Yeah, nice.
So I could do like a... cool thing with having Cal's lightsaber on screen and then Cal's lightsaber in my hand.
Yeah.
That's kind of all I was going for.
To be fair, I was told I was getting a lightsaber as well. And when everyone mentioned it today, I was just like, I was busy at work, so I didn't kind of pay much attention. I thought, yeah, I'm sure messaged me as well.
Mine was due to come today or tomorrow. Then I looked at the tracking info from FedEx today and it was like, yeah, it's still in China.
Where's what?
Where's our bags?
Your bags? There's one here.
What colour?
Pink. So like that was that. It's quarter to 10. Why are you not asleep? This is the joys of half term.
I know. So, anyway, that's my games job done. I've got a gamey topic we could go into, but it's quite long, so I might save it for another time.
Okay. What was the other one?
We're an hour and 16 minutes in.
Well, that's fine. It's a holiday podcast. Let's do one more. One more topic.
One more topic on games. Right, okay. I need to get my phone first.
One more topic on games.
Then we've got... What, then question time?
We've got question time as well.
This is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, I'll leave it up to you. You're the topic master.
I'll save this for next time. I'll try and find a way to lean into it next time. I've saved it. It's an article I read. But that's fine. We'll save that for next week.
Yep.
So anyway, so we have a question from our good friend Lee, the Bodacious Quiff. So
yep.
If you don't follow Lee on Instagram, he is at the Bodacious Quiff.
Yep, he's very fit.
He's very fit. Aside from Henry Cavill, I'd go gay for Lee.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Anyway, so...
What's the question?
He sent us in a few questions, so he's going to be a recurring character.
Yep.
So we have got... What was the first game that you ever played?
Oh, it's such a hard one because I'm very old. But all I can think of is an era.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to paint a picture, we're going back to... I was in England at the time. I probably was... heading towards 10. I was in the UK, so I wasn't more than 10 because we went to South Africa when I was 10. But I had my first setup. I had quite a cool first setup. I had a nice big room with a bunk bed, and I had a nice big white desk like the one I've got now, and I had a Spectrum ZX48K and a TV and one of those loading cassette players. And a game I remember my dad getting me a joystick. Remember the joysticks with the sticky things? You used to stick them mm-hmm. on your desk, and they had a red trigger.
Yeah.
And they were very kind of like, yeah, fighter pilot-y.
Yeah, yeah, another one.
He got me the game 1948.
Okay.
Now, it was a game that was...
Was that the year he bought you the game, or...?
It was... yeah, pretty much the year of the game. But it was just one of those games that's a top-down...
Mm.
Left, right, you fly the plane, people come down. It's a bit like those alien games you used to get where you fire the guns and stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, but it was, you'd be firing your plane, you'd be firing it with the joystick going left, right, and then you'd pull back on the joystick to do a loop-de-loop to evade any missiles or bullets. Mm-hmm. So if people were shooting, you couldn't get out of it. You could yank back on the joystick, do a big loop-de-loop, and then carry on flying. And it was, graphically at the time, very good.
Yeah.
And all around that era, that's the one that kind of stands out when I thought about it earlier. I think it's called 1948. But there were others around that time. Horoscope Skiing was a really early Spectrum game.
Mm-hmm. Before me.
Before your time. but then as the consoles got better, we got into games like Ghoul and Goblins, Commodore 64. But for me, going back to my first game is a lot longer than for most who would go Zelda.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going way back before that to Spectrum ZX48K games and Michael Jackson Moonwalker. There were some really good classics. In fact,
Michael Jackson had a game is hilarious.
Michael Jackson Moonwalker was terribly good. It wasn't great, but it did have the music. And I remember the opening scene of Michael Jackson Moonwalker on the Spectrum was him doing his moonwalk with his socks, sparkly socks in his shoes. And he would do it, and then he'd go up on the tiptoes and then do the 360 spin and then the pow on the toes. And then the game would go into the main menu.
God.
I need to find that YouTube video for you because it's probably going to look so bad. Michael Jackson Moonwalker Spectrum is what you need to put into into YouTube. But yeah, that was probably my first. How about you?
So I'm trying to figure out when it came out, but for me, the first game that I can remember that, you know, I can have vivid memories of playing was The Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
But when it was a side scroller on the Amiga.
Yeah.
So I remember mum and dad.
It was good.
In our first house, had an Amiga. You run across, jump over spikes. There might have been a guy with a scimitar trying to hit you. And you have to jump over him or something. I remember being very young. I remember playing that. But that was...
Prince of Persia was like game-breaking at the time.
I remember having a mum having dad having an Amiga, but I could have been like, you know, 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Maybe even younger. But then like most of my childhood really was spent on like the original Game Boy.
Yeah, yeah.
That was my first my own first console as such was...
I think for a lot of people it was.
The original Game Boy back in the 90s.
I think for Carly it was as well.
So it was like playing Mega Man
and
the OG Pokemon games.
Yeah.
That's kind of where my first... Yeah, I think prior to that, the Amiga was what I remember the most.
That's where my age comes into it. But then that was like... It's like this different times. So that was like the pre-gamer.
Mm.
Although I was a gamer, really, from 8 years old or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But then there was a big sabbatical between that to then coming back on the Nintendo Family System and playing things like tennis.
Yeah.
Used to love tennis on that.
So we had a Sega Master System.
Yeah.
That if you didn't put a cartridge in it, like you had like Nintendo style cartridges, it had a game on
built
there.
Built in.
It was like Alex the Kid or something like that.
Yeah, I used to love Alex the Kid.
It was like built into the console itself. It just came with it.
Alex Kid, Wonder Boy, Monsterland. And I remember like the tile game where you fire the ball and you obviously got it sticks to your thing and then you got to bust through the walls.
Yes, I think
you know that was like one of those ones that would come with the console. So if you didn't have a game, you could play that. It was addictive. It's a bit like Tetris.
Imagine games just coming with a random game. I mean, sometimes they do. Yeah, PlayStation had that thing, didn't it, to teach you about the controls.
Mm. Yeah, Astro's Playroom.
That's it.
You still had to download it though. But that was in an era where we had no internet.
Mm.
So
it just came pre-installed.
I remember I remember going to Asda at Castle Point. This is before it was Asda. It was the Hampshire Centre.
The Hampshire Centre, yeah.
And I remember going there.
Back, isn't it?
The old days, back in the 80s. And I remember going there and you would go into the game section with all the old consoles. And this is pre-Nintendo. It's old.
Mm.
You know, it's Commodore, Amstrad, Spectrum, Amstrad. You know what I mean? Old days.
Old, yeah. Amstrad's...
And you would go in... And you would see the games in cassette tapes, right? And the artwork was always incredible. Always made it look like it was a sci-fi movie.
Mm.
But it was, you know, games like Renegade or Double Dragon or you know, I could be anything, King Kong, or, you know, it was just a really nice era because it was, felt so groundbreaking. I think the problem we've had now for the last 10 years, nothing blows your socks off. Nothing's revolutionary. Night-night. Love you.
But it was, yeah, we're two.
5 to 10. But yeah, like, I felt back then. Night-night, sweetie. Say goodnight to the audience.
Night-night.
Good girl. Off you go.
Night, pops.
So I think back then, we, you know, we were maybe a tad more me than you, but I think you were also old enough to appreciate how far it's come.
Oh, yeah.
From your Game Boy days to now PS5.
Yeah, because I'd have done, like, Sega Saturn, you know, Mega Drive, mm-hmm. 64, Nintendo 64.
Very pixelated.
Yeah, then PS1,
yeah.
PS2, Xbox, you know, Dreamcast. Mm. And just seeing the difference between there, like, difference between Sega Mega Drive and then PS1 was a jump.
Massive, or Dreamcast. Like, I think Dreamcast was as equally as powerful, if not more powerful than a PS1.
It was. I remember there was a GTA-style game that came out. The name escapes me now, but it's basically, it was set in London. And
top down.
No, it was not GTA London.
Right.
It was kind of like a GTA-like game, but it was set in London. Like, you'd get out of your car, you'd steal, rob cars, run around. But to my knowledge, it was one of the first games that they'd mapped London, and you'd drive past Buckingham Palace.
Amazing.
Things like that. And you'd get in a Vauxhall Astra or a BMW 5 Series. Like, they got the rights to...
Yeah.
And you drive past, there'd be boots.
Yeah.
And I was just there like, this is...
It's amazing.
It's on PS2. I think it was The Getaway.
The Getaway, yeah. That rings
I think
a bell.
It was The Getaway. And yeah, you're just there. I remember there as a kid going, like, I've been there. Like, that's London.
Yeah.
Like, it was PS2.
It's funny enough you said that, because Amy's got a little topic she does of, like, asking questions about games and what you'd like to see. And my one was, like, I'd like to have my hometown in a proper GTA-style realistic sim.
Yeah, yeah.
So a bit like Watch Dogs, but without the kind of unrealistic sci-fi edge.
Yeah, yeah.
I want it to be gritty and real, and you could basically go and buy businesses like GTA, and you could go buy your local Greggs, and you could, you know, you could go into a hotel and sleep there for the night and, you know, bang a hook or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But make it...
I wouldn't want to do that in Bournemouth.
No. but make it realistic, you know, that you can actually live your normal life in a way that you might want to live it.
Yeah.
You know, but try and make it realistic. You can go down the pier and get a speedboat and kill people in the water by accident and whatever. But it's... Yeah, I think it's that sense of realism that some games almost try a bit too hard, and they need to concentrate maybe more on the story.
Yeah, because I know Forza Horizon, they did the UK.
Mm.
And they did a really good map of the UK.
Yeah.
It's Forza, so you're just cruising around in cars.
You're just cruising around, there's no purpose.
But I don't think they made it as far this south.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like a little bit south of London, but
everything's London.
Yeah, it was more like Cotswolds, like those picturesque roads and stuff.
Everything's London in England.
Yeah.
But
which I thought driving through Devon or something,
it would have been cool.
Would have been well good.
It might have been a bit boring as you get to the more countryside thing. I think London is the right location for those types of games because it's just everything happens.
Yeah, it's like London. They had Edinburgh on there.
Yeah.
And like things like that, but I don't think they quite made it down south.
But I think what they really need to do is a really good story-driven game.
Mm.
And Watch Dogs was there to a degree, but it still felt sci-fi.
It was over-the-top sci-fi, though, isn't
it? It's sci-fi, basically, and it's good. But, you know, there were still very much hard walls around buildings like Buckingham Palace. You know, you couldn't do stuff. You know, it was a guided sim. You could race where you wanted to, but it wasn't open. The shops didn't open. You couldn't get, it was all painted.
That's what annoyed me about Watch Dogs, was you go to the shops and it almost felt lazy because they were like, well, but that's futuristic now that we've just got a tablet in the front door.
Yeah.
You can't actually come in here.
You can't go into them.
It just seemed a bit pointless.
And it would be nice, and I know it's a big ask, but I think make it more real.
Mm.
You know, you've got to start off with your guys in the council estate and you've got to work your way up. And
I think
you're getting bullied by some guy in the council estate and you've got to, you know, you've got to choose a path. And you either go down the path of going out with, you know, the local gangs or whatever, or you go down a more business route.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're trying to build a reputation.
Just, want GTA London again.
GTA really. London, but give it a nice kind of, you know, a moral compass.
Oh, yeah, a more of a modern twist.
Yeah.
I think Valhalla was based in the UK, wasn't it? And that had Winchester and stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah, it did. But because it kind of pushed on the Viking and the supernaturalish to a
yeah, yeah.
point.
It's still not. It's still
it lost
not,
all of that.
Yeah, you kind of want modern day Britain, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Or even 1940s Britain or whatever. Mm. You know what I would really like a really good Sherlock Holmes game.
Yeah.
And I know they've done them, but I've never played them.
No.
So I don't know if they're good or not. But I would really like a high budget Sherlock Holmes era Victorian London game. You know, they obviously did the game which was Dishonored.
Yeah.
Which feels like that. But just the traditional police crime.
That felt
film.
Like a fake London that did though, didn't it? That
exactly.
That was kind of like we took inspiration from the UK and its city and we made this.
Mm. I would really love to have a Sherlock and Watson game.
Yeah.
Where you can go against Moriarty, a nice mix of puzzles and clues, evidence based, you know, crime detection, playing as both characters. Sherlock obviously going off and doing his drug experiments.
Yeah.
You know, Watson going off and being more of a soldier, so more guns and, you know, stuff like that. I think it'd be really good.
It would be cool.
You know, just base it on the Robert Downey Jr. films.
Yeah.
They're really good. One of my favourites. That would be cool. A Sherlock Holmes game would be amazing.
Yeah, I don't know what the ones that are out currently play. Like I say, I've not played them either.
They might be more kind of like puzzle based.
Yeah.
So they're called Sherlock Holmes, but it's just a puzzle game. I don't know. Yeah, could be wrong.
But yeah, so that's it. First video games was your old war game.
Very old.
Yeah, and my older ish game.
Game Boy.
Yeah, so that's that. I think hour and a half. I think we're pretty.
We've gone over our limit.
Yeah, I think we're there. We go. A lot of topics. A lot to talk about.
Let's wrap it up at that. Thank you for my Yorkshire beer pudding. Beer. 3.6%.
Calling me pudding?
You're always my pudding. You're my dessert. But 3.6 is not terribly weak.
No, it's not.
But is it the weaker end of our...
I think it's the weakest one we've had.
Definitely the weakest one we've had. But I would have that again. I've had 7% beers I wouldn't have again.
I will find one that will absolutely... I've got one in mind that will absolutely blow your socks off next time.
Well, it's my turn next, so we'll see. I'm feeling maybe I go away from beer on the next one.
Yeah.
But it depends what I find.
Till we find.
Because we've had quite a lot of beer. Apart from the week that you threw it up with some red wine.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of beer recently, so maybe we'll try something else. Been a while since we've had a spirit.
Yeah.
We'll see. Depends what's on the shelf at the time.
See what's there.
So there we go. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for listening.
For tuning in. Ni hao.
Hello.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And we'll catch you on the next one. Episode 15 will be coming up in 2 weeks' time.
2 weeks.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. See you.
Bye-bye.